Good evening and welcome to Asking Angels. My name is Bianca, and tonight I have some late night thoughts for you. Today is September 16th, 2022. 17 years ago today, I lost my brother in a car accident. And I've got to say that every year for the last 16 years, I have greatly dreaded this date, and really this week. My brother's birthday was the 12th, and he had passed on the 16th in 2005. So naturally, this was a very tough week for me for the majority of my life after losing my brother. And I just find it truly amazing that at this point in time that I am in my life, that this is the first time in 17 years that this day has come and it has not been so heavy on my heart. And the only reason that it is not heavy on my heart is not because I don't miss him or love him dearly. It's not because I'm not still pained by the violent nature of his death, but I think I just have a greater understanding now of where it is that we go when we leave this place, a greater understanding of the complexity of our soul and that it is eternal. You know, for me, growing up in a Roman Catholic household, if you will, not practicing, but, you know, this was the outline of what we were set to believe. And just having faith and just, you know, oh, he's in a better place and all of those stereotypical comments just were so hollow all the time. And they never satisfied a part of my soul that needed understanding that I now feel that I have traveling this journey. I miss my brother Brian every day of my life, but it's not a pang anymore. I know that we're eternal, and he would be just as hurt to see me down here feeling such earthly pain, when really he knows that in just what seems like a blip of time, we'll be together again, whether it's in the spirit world or reincarnated into another life. We cycle with the same souls that we have such a connection with in this life. We may change positions. We may be a daughter to our mother this round, and next round we might be a father to our son. There are lessons in each opportunity that we find ourselves in, and there's not one life where no lessons can be learned. So please take every opportunity that you can to make peace with the pain in your life. For pain is only what we create. It's only our experience and our thoughts that give us this false sense of fear. Fear is an illusion. Pain is an illusion. There is most certainly for every pain a solution. We must find it. We must have the will to find it. And we must have the foresight to know that these earthly challenges that we find ourselves in are just that. And if you get caught up too deeply in them, you lose the value of the lesson in itself. So, yeah, I have to say I'm quite happy with this year and how I've not been completely struck with sadness. It's a beautiful thing, and my heart truly feels happy. I feel the joy that I believe he feels. I believe he feels elated that I know what it is that I do. So if you happen to have a date that you dread, or a loved one that you lost, if you happen to have that pang of hurt or brokenness, please know that it sucks to hear, but you are the doer of these deeds to yourself, and you are also the undoer. So tread lightly and remember, on the day that you get to meet the person that you might miss right now, you want to be able to show them all the things that you've done, all the amazing learning that you've been able to experience, even though you had to carry the pain of their loss, that you carried on instead to make a life to be proud of, a life that they too would be proud of. Instead of getting to the finish line, realizing that they were right there the whole time, cheering you on, but you were too caught up in your sorrow or sadness or what-ifs, could-haves, should-haves, what-haves. I feel we do such a terrible job of living in the present. It's so hard to live in the present these days. You're either thinking about the good times that you used to have, reminiscing about the old days, or we're wanting to get to a place that we're not quite yet. And I think we forget that once we're at that place that we thought was going to be so fantastic, it's usually not. And then we look back at the times that we were fretting to get to the place that we're at now, and we're like, shit, those were some really good times. So just remember to enjoy them. Remember to live a life that would make yourself proud. Don't rest on your morals. Don't find a reason that sounds good to just be like, ah, you know what? Screw it. I'm not going to do that. Because the only person that you're doing that to is yourself. But aside from giving much conscious thought to your subconscious thoughts, what about your physical responsibilities in life? The last few days, it's become painfully obvious to me, especially now that it's harvest season in the Hudson Valley, that the people that we entrust to grow food for us, to provide for our families, to sustain us throughout the year, encompasses only 2% of the world. With hunting as a mere sport and gardening as a hobby, we seem to visualize these things differently than perhaps we did 100 years ago. We are fully dependent on supermarkets and the Walmarts of the world. We don't seem to even comprehend the fact that we are as dependent as we are. Just the fact that gardening can be considered a hobby, I think, is pretty absurd. I know in most cases, especially in the city, it's hard to have land to grow. You know, I know that would be more challenging. But at the same time, I have seen rooftop gardens that would put to shame some people that have property. On the roof of the Jacob Javits Center in Manhattan, there is a 1-acre green space in which absorbs 85% of the rainwater throughout the year and recycles it to irrigate itself. They have a lot of plants up there to help the pollinators in the area. And I really think that that movement is something significant that more people should get involved with. Because at this point, we don't grow anything for ourselves. We don't hunt our own food. We don't gather. We don't grow. There's currently a serious food supply chain issue, and we're all feeling it right now. I read some statistics the other day that were pretty alarming in regards to the shortage of food, and what is looming in the future of this year. Because, as you know, everything that's grown this year would be canned for this year and next. Most vegetables on the shelf have a 2 to 4 year lifespan. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen in the next few months, as we will. I hope for the best, but just given the fact that we as a society do not take any sort of responsibility for our own families and their needs, there's a certain weight that I think we have to pull to be able to keep this ship running. I mean, we almost have 333 million people in America. There's 7.7 billion people in the world. There's just simply, we just simply don't have the luxury to not provide for ourselves, at least in some small facet, in some small quantity. I think it should be something that is more topical for children to be learning in schools, for adults to be more conscious of. You know, for me, I grew up in Queens. I didn't grow up on a farm. I sure got here as fast as I could, but I did not grow up knowing this life. And every day that I live it, I feel more connected to the path that not only me, but the path that I think that we should all be on. I think it's time for us to take responsibility and pull our weight when it comes to providing for our families. And I'm not just saying going to work, going to school, getting your degree, and, you know, doing all the things that you need to do in life to propel your success, but also the things that we should just be doing without even thought. I mean, I think that we've come to a point, we've come to a crossroad where we need to make these small changes. If we implement these small changes now, that they will have significant impacts for us, even within the next year. I think anyone listening to this who has the opportunity to grow, to, you know, educate themselves potentially on this next spring coming up, you know, take the winter off, educate yourself, research. Pick a simple set of crops that you know you will use and utilize for your family. For me, next year, I think I'm going to grow a tremendous amount of tomatoes and peppers because I love tomato sauce. My family likes spicy everything. So I think that those two things combined would be fantastic. Canned tomatoes, you can make like a million different things with, right? And they also keep. So whatever works for you. Aside from that, I'm going to have a separate section for my herbs. This year, I grew a lot of chamomile. And the amazing thing about chamomile is that it just keeps coming. You're afraid to pick it, right? You think like, oh, I'm going to pick all the flowers, all gone. There's not going to be any left. But in actuality, the more that you pick it, the more that it grows. So I have been picking and stashing all summer my chamomile, and I can't wait to have a sip of it in the middle of the winter with some honey from my neighbor down the road who has a bee farm. And I'll just be thinking about these warm summer days when I was picking my chamomile off the plant and just enjoying that sunshine and sipping that cup of tea, knowing that I provided this moment for myself in this space and time. And it's just this circular part of life that I find is truly a gift, you know, from planting the seed to watching it grow to harvesting it and then being able to use that at a time when you can't grow it. And sure, it kind of takes away the joy knowing that you can simply go to a supermarket and get it, but it's just not the same, you know, to create life, to give your garden love all summer. I mean, you have a true connection with it. It's not just, watering plants. You really vibe with your space. And it's a part of humanity that I think that it's a true shame that we've lost, because it brings you closer to nature, brings you closer to yourself. And in that calm space and time, you may even find that you make connections to things that you never made before, because your mind has the opportunity to be free from constraint, to relax, to enjoy, to connect to all the other forms of existence that we currently reside in within this world. So the next time that you feel hungry and you want to reach into your pantry or your closet or your fridge and you want to grab a snack, I want you to think about all the energy that went into whatever product it is that you're eating. And then I want you to think about how many times it is that you eat during the day. And if you have family, how many times they eat during the day. And just think about that astronomical number and how without these 2% of the world, I mean, we're talking 158 million people about. I think it is probably insulting that we can assume that we would be able to sustain that for a long period of time, especially with our population ever growing. It may have been stunted these last 3 years with COVID, but you know, the inevitable is so that this is just not a long-term solution. And I really think that we need to become more active individuals in our life when it comes to providing. So just some food for thought. This was my late night thought, that I think we owe it to ourselves and our world to do our job, to get back into the rhythm that our ancestors were in. I think that it would bring us not only a wholeness in our lives, a synchronicity in our lives that you may not have ever had the chance to experience, but aside from that, it would heal our planet in a way that nothing else, I think, at this point could. And it would be an immediate effect on so many different things, on Mother Earth herself, on our society, on our supply chain, on our capitalistic culture that is slowly slipping to socialist. I think that we should do this. And we'll find how much we enjoy doing it. And it doesn't hurt that you also become less dependent on others. You become less dependent on large government. You realize that you don't need other people to make decisions for you, that you are fully capable of being responsible for your own self. Because you are. We give the government the power that they have. The power that seem so blaring in our face, that they shine at us, they are really only reflecting back our own power that we give them willingly. Remember this. Before I let you go, I just want to repeat some cold hard facts regarding our current supply chain issues globally and some hurdles that we will have to overcome in the very near future. Fact number one. The hard red winter wheat crop in the United States this year was the smallest since 1963. Keep in mind, in 1963, there were only 182 million people living in this nation. Today, our population has grown to 332 million. Number two, it is being projected that the rice harvest in California will be half of what it will be in a normal year. Number three, the U.S. tomato harvest will come in at just 10.5 million tons in 2022. That's over 1 million tons lower than a normal year. Number four, this will be the worst U.S. corn harvest in at least a decade. Number five, year-to-date shipments of carrots in the United States are down 45%. Number six, year-to-date shipments of sweet corn in the United States are down 20%. Number seven, year-to-date shipments of sweet potatoes in the United States are down 13%. Number eight, year-to-date shipments of celery in the United States are down 11%. Number nine, total peach production in the United States is down 15% from last year. Number 10, almost three-fourths of all U.S. farmers say that this is the year's drought hurting their harvests. Number 11, thanks to the endless drought, the total number of cattle in Oregon is down 41%. Number 12, thanks to the endless drought, the total number of cattle in New Mexico is down 43%. Number 13, thanks to the endless drought, the total number of cattle in Texas is down by 50%. Number 14, one beef producer in Oklahoma is now predicting that the ground beef in the U.S. could eventually top $50 a pound. Number 15, at least 40% of the United States has been suffering from drought conditions for 101 consecutive weeks. Number 16. Overall, this is the worst multi-year mega drought in the United States in 1,200 years. Number 17. Europe is currently experiencing the worst drought that it has seen in 500 years. In some parts of Central Europe, river levels have fallen so low that hunger stones are being revealed for the first time in centuries. Number 18. Corn production for the entire EU could be down by as much as one-fifth in 2022. Number 19. We are being warned that there will be crop losses in France of up to 35%. Number 20. It is being projected that crop losses in some areas of the UK could be as high as 50%. Number 21. It is being reported that there will be crop losses of up to 50% in some parts of Germany. Number 22. Some farmers in Italy have already lost up to 80% of their harvest. Number 23. Agricultural production in Somalia will be down about 80% this year. Number 24. In Eastern Africa, the endless drought has already resulted in the deaths of at least 7 million animals. Number 25. In China, they are facing the worst drought that they have ever experienced in recorded history. Number 26. India normally accounts for 40% of the global rice trade, but we are being warned that production in that country will be way down in 2022 due to considerable rainfall deficiencies in key rice-producing states. Number 27. A third of the entire nation of Pakistan was underwater after recent floods, absolutely devastating crops. The demand at U.S. food banks is now even worse than it was during the height of the COVID pandemic. The World Health Organization is telling us that millions of people in Africa are now potentially facing a very real possibility of starving to death. According to the World Food Program, 828 million people around the world go to bed hungry each night. Needless to say, that number will soon be much higher. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has publicly stated that he believes it is likely that there will be multiple famines in 2023. As global food supplies get tighter and tighter, so will the risk of civil unrest. In fact, this has already been happening. I mean, it doesn't take that much to look around and see what's been going on in the world. Now, while these facts are quite alarming, and I think I've been sitting with them for a few days now, just on my mind, you know, whenever I have no current responsibilities and I happen to drift away into that place where you just, you know, ruminate on things. I think it is disturbing, but I think it also, instead of being a paralyzing thought, should be something that encourages us to take that step into action and really seriously make a game plan for your next growing season. I think it is our duty as, I was going to say Americans, but not even just Americans, as individuals of this world, as earthlings, I think it is our duty to contribute in a way that we have never before, on a scale that we have never had the need to before. I think the need was always there, but we're humans, right? We're lazy. Opportunity presents itself to us to make our lives easier, and we usually take it. And a supermarket seems like a pretty sweet deal. Just go in there and open a fridge whenever you need something, you know? But I think there's a pattern here, even beyond what we've touched on today. When it comes to health, when it comes to GMOs, when it comes to just this garbage that we're putting in our bodies, this processed stuff that we just don't know the long-term side effects of, I think everything is going hand in hand here. Nothing in life is easy that is good. We know this. We've experienced this time and time again in life, and I think this is it just resurfacing itself in a new way for us to learn from. So I hope that you have taken from this episode something to help you in your life, to better you and your family and your situation. I hope that you blossom in your current situation, and that this 25 minutes or so that you've spent with me can be a seed that has been planted that will grow with now the watering of your curiosity. That would be my greatest hope for you and for anyone who's listening. I love you all so much, and I've had a wonderful talk tonight. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I have. Love and light always. Talk to you guys soon.